This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And boy, oh boy, do we have plenty to get to today. Daryl Morey has now entered the chat in this Ben Simmons situation in a way that I can't imagine is going to make Sixers fans all that thrilled. They already don't like Ben Simmons. I feel like Daryl Morey may be climbing the power rankings, Chris, of guys Philadelphia fans are ready to be done with here sooner than later.
Yeah, in a situation when you want to diffuse the tension, it just feels like Daryl Morey is adding more gas to it. But we're going to get to that in a little bit because we got to get to the guy that we got coming up to get everybody's money right.
Just easing the tension, baby. Easing the tension.
Just a little bit.
To ease the tension. You're right. We need to get everyone's pockets straight. So we'll head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our guy Stanford Steve, co-host of Stanford Steve and the Bear Podcast. What's up, Steve?
What's up, fellas? How we doing? Loving that Ben Simmons life, huh?
Ooh, man, let me tell you here, there is way too much to unpack. This is like something we need a therapist to help get involved with for both of these two. So we'll focus on comparatively easier matters. Like, Steve, who the hell is going to win on Thursday Night Football? The banged-up Browns going up against the banged-up Denver Broncos here. How are we supposed to call this one?
I look at it as an opportunity for Chase Keenum. You know, he's going to come in. Obviously, Mayfield's not going to play, but I like the idea of him playing against this Denver defense. We know how good Denver's defense can be with the pass rush, but I like Keenum's idea of being a vet and being a guy that's always gotten rid of the ball. You know, hasn't been one of those guys that held onto the ball. We got Jarvis Landry coming back. I think Cleveland feasts off that home crowd at home and gets the win and covers the number. So I like the Browns in this spot in a short week after a tough loss to Arizona last Sunday.
Steve, looking at some other games on the NFL slate in Week 7, I see in your notes that you got the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans, and I'm a big guy on same-game parlays, and I feel like it might be tailor-made for me to get involved with this action. What would be the play for you if you were going to get involved in this game?
Tennessee's had really good success against the good Chiefs. I'm not talking about these Chiefs. I'm talking like the real good Chiefs that won the Super Bowl, went to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure what to make of these Chiefs right now, but you look at Tennessee and what they did Monday night and coming back against Buffalo. I thought it was really impressive. You know they're not going to fear the Chiefs. No one fears that Chiefs defense anymore. I saw Spagnuolo was talking about tackling Derrick Henry and working on that in practice. I wonder how that's going this week because you can't lose any other bodies if you're going to use somebody as a tackling dummy. So I think Tennessee has the goods to keep it close, and I expect a lot of points in this game. So maybe Tennessee and the over for a little same game parlay. That's where I would go if you give me this game.
Yeah, the Chiefs and one score games have been a match made in heaven all season long, and I think Derrick Henry. I saw an NFL Live some stat like averaging 120 plus rushing yards in his last 30 some odd games. It's just ridiculous. So we go from that one as Stanford Steve's with us here on the Goodyear Hotline to Philly and the Las Vegas Raiders. Comparatively less firepower here, Steve, but Vegas a 3-point favorite in this game. How you figure here?
Well, I'm interested to see what Las Vegas looks like after that emotional win, knowing what all that happened off the field last week and going to Denver and playing really well. And now you come back home. I think they'll build off that home crowd, you know, that new Raider fan base that gets excited as any, or they are as excited as anybody for a team in their town. And I kind of like the matchup of Las Vegas' defensive line getting after that Philly offensive line. I know Lane Johnson's back, but he's been off a couple weeks. That feels like he's got a little bit of rust in him, and that's not good when you got guys like Max Crosby that could come off the edge and Ngakoue too. And I like where Las Vegas' offense is headed, man. There's good balance there with Jacobs and Carr, and we know what Ruggs has done, you know, with the deep ball from Carr. So I would lay to 3. With Las Vegas here. It feels a little small and fishy. It feels like it should be more. So we'll chance it and press it and give the 3 points with Las Vegas.
Canty and Golic Jr. talking with Stanford Steve from Stanford Steve and the Bear Podcast. And Steve, switching gears, we're going over to college football. And this college football preview is brought to you by AT&T. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new. So at AT&T is giving you new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Steve, you know I'm an ACC guy, so we got a big-time ACC matchup between the Clemson Tigers and the 23rd ranked Pittsburgh Pirate. I mean Pittsburgh Panthers. How do you see this matchup?
This is a little different, huh? I mean, there's people before the year that had these games of the year in the conference, Chris, that had Clemson as an 18-point favorite in this game. And now they're getting 3 points. And even if you look back 7 days, Clemson went to Syracuse and was a 14-point favorite. So it feels like the decision has been made with the guys in the desert making lines, and they are not fans of Clemson anymore. And I look at it as an opportunity for Pitt. Pickett, the quarterback, has been tremendous. I like the toys he has to play with on offense, but it's a big matchup. Clemson still brings that defense to the forefront. I just feel like Clemson has one of these bust-out games and an opportunity here against a ranked team. I think Dabo, I mean, it's been years since he could play the underdog card in a conference game. So I don't really like the game a lot, but if I had to, I would take Clemson here.
Man, he's been waiting to bust out that little old Clemson card again for a while now and actually be able to mean it.
So we
might get that coming up this weekend.
You're right.
Now, the other thing we got coming up this weekend, Steve, College Game Day, Oregon out at UCLA. That's going to be the site of game day this weekend here. Did I see right? UCLA 2-point favorites in this game?
Yeah, and I like them, Mike. I look at this matchup, and three weeks ago, we saw Oregon go to Stanford and lose, and they really struggled in the run game. Just watching that back and seeing how their linebackers a little undisciplined with gap assignments and run fits, and then they come out off a bye week as a 2-touchdown favorite at home against Cal, who's one of the worst teams in the league, and barely win. And now they're going to go to the Rose Bowl and play probably maybe the best offense in the conference. And when I think about what UCLA could do offensively, whether it's going unbalanced, you know, tackle eligible, tackle over, spread you out with that run game and how precise they are, I think Oregon has a tough time matching up with that. And Oregon's offense seems to have hit their ceiling with Anthony Brown. They just don't have, you know, that extra gear. And I know they left Vardell. They lost Vardell, the running back, who was probably the best player on the field in their win at Ohio State. But I like the possibility of UCLA here because they also went to Eugene last year without quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson and lost by 3 points in that game. And Oregon had to get a punt return and a fumble return in that game. So I think UCLA is going to get a little revenge here. And I like them as an unranked team giving points to a ranked team.
Steve, I'm going to ask you about the Golden Domers because I know Mike has been on edge about his team all season long. But Notre Dame coming off of a bye week, they're hosting the Trojans, and they're laying the 7 points. How do you see this matchup?
Yeah, you mentioned there the bye week. I think that's where I look at in this game, Chris. When USC, and this is why I hated them firing Clay Helton for the sake of the guys in the building, man. Like, it's just got to be chaos every week. Who's answering to who? What coaches are looking for jobs next year and instead of looking at some extra game tape? And, like, things like this, handling a bye week and probably going to play your biggest opponent of the year. Like, how are they going to come out? And then when you look at the other side, you got one of the most established coaching staffs in the country with Brian Kelly. So I like the idea of just Notre Dame getting ready and coming out of a bye week and doing what they were supposed to do in the bye week and getting ready for this rivalry game. All signs point to Michael Mayer, who's one of my favorite tight ends in the league, coming back. I think he's a huge matchup nightmare for USC. And I like how Notre Dame matches up with their defense. The defense is getting better every week, but I like Cam Hart at corner, and I like Kyle Hamilton over the top to help on Drake London, who has, I think he has 64 catches in 6 games. So if we could take away that first read, I think Notre Dame's going to have a good night. Maybe a little chill in the air, too. The USC boys aren't accustomed to. You know the Notre Dame big boys up front will have no sleeves on. So I like the Irish in this spot. Feels like a little bit of a public play, but I'll take Notre Dame here.
Yeah, the beautiful thing watching some USC player be told that the high was 40. In South Bend for Saturday in the game and watching all of the life leave his face. So welcome to a slow Tuesday in South Bend, buddy. Enjoy that one here. Steve, we appreciate you giving us some time as always, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the weekend, all right?
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Chris, I will never forget as long as I live because there's footage. I don't know the young man's name, but one of the USC players being told that about the weather forecast this weekend. We played Miami in the Sun Bowl down in El Paso, Texas. We were at altitude at UTEP Stadium there. It was 30 degrees and snowing at kickoff, and we saw the entire Miami team huddled in the tunnel pregame wearing all the cold gear they could muster up on that trip, and we knew right then and there we were winning by at least two touchdowns, and we were absolutely right.
Oh, no question about it, especially with it being the Sun Bowl, not being a playoff game or competing for a national title. They didn't want to be out there anyway, so the fact that it was 40 degrees and it was snowing, whatever it was, yeah, let me tell you about that motivator cuff that they had. That was all the way on E. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that you got that kind of reaction from them boys from South Florida.
Speaking of unmotivated, coming up next, Unstoppable Forts meets Untradeable Object in Philadelphia, next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
I don't think there's any way Philadelphia fans are going to let it work considering what happened this offseason.
I forgot the golden rule in this league that the player always wins.
He gets suspended one game. That's the opener, and it's in New Orleans. The home opener is on Friday.
Waiting to see if anybody is going to come running back to the Philadelphia 76ers right now, Ben Simmons or otherwise, here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And as we all prepare, Chris, for the Philadelphia 76ers home opener on Friday against the Brooklyn Nets, we have not heard anything from Ben Simmons himself. We know, reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, he showed up to the facility today, was supposed to take part in an individual workout, but complained of back soreness, got treatment, and bounced. Now, what gets interesting here, Chris, is we finally heard from Daryl Morey, who went on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia, and has said, among other things, that he expects Ben to be at shoot-around tomorrow. The bottom line is Ben Simmons is a different maker, and we look forward to reintegrating him. We are just taking it one day at a time. And that right now, if we traded Ben Simmons like he wants, all we would get back is role players, and that would make no sense. I would be prepared to strap in, because it will take a while. Simmons is a difference-making player. I think that sound is Philadelphia not only not strapping in, but getting out of the car and starting to light it on fire, hearing that this might be the timeline, Chris.
Yeah, it sounds like Daryl Morey is trying to smoke Ben Simmons out. And if I was in his position, I can't blame him. But I can't take what he's saying at face value, because the reality is there is a shelf life on this current team, this roster as constituted. Like, they've got to try to make some hay. They've got to try to compete for a championship while you have Joel Embiid healthy and in his prime, while you have Tobias Harris with the same and the supporting cast around those guys. And so, yeah, while you recognize Ben Simmons could be a piece, an asset that brings you back something significantly more than what other teams around the league are currently offering, you also have to consider how the distraction of this Ben Simmons saga could potentially detract from what your team is trying to accomplish this season. And so that's the part that I think Daryl Morey is missing, because – if you heard Joel Embiid and other players talk about it, like, chemistry has been a focal point on what they've been trying to develop in preseason in the early going. And you don't want anything to affect that, because that could potentially determine a team's successes just as much as the talent level would as well. So I just feel like with this whole Ben Simmons saga, this is one of those things that they need to put it to bed. They need to put Ben Simmons to the side and try their best to try to find a resolution that both sides can live with sooner rather than later.
Well, and Chris, I guess that's my biggest point in all this, because Daryl Morey went on to say in that interview, he will only trade Ben Simmons if he can get a difference maker in return. It can go on for 4 years. We're in the prime of Embiid's career. We have to get Simmons returning or a difference maker back. This could be 4 years. And I get what you're saying about trying to put the pressure on Simmons. But, Chris, this feels like a situation where saying less should be a hell of a lot more here from the organization side.
Yeah, I don't understand why you want to poke the bear, right? Like, why do you want to continue to agitate Ben Simmons? You know that he didn't want to show up in the first place, and that the only reason that he got on a plane to go to Philadelphia is because Rich Paul, his agent, showed him how much money he was missing out on and his fines racking up into the seven figures.
He said,
so
what?
So you know the guy doesn't want to be there. So if he doesn't want to be there and you're forcing him to be there because of the contract, then you know that he's going to be a disruptive force, and that could take away from what your team is trying to build. So I get that you want to try to get as close to fair value as you possibly can, but at some point, you're going to have to cut your losses and realize that's not going to happen. And I think we're getting dangerously close to that being the situation. It feels like Daryl Morey is the last one to realize that, though.
Yeah, this real public dance around this idea, because he mentioned reintegrating him into the lineup potentially here. Like, acting like that is still a possibility, Chris.
There's no chance that Ben Simmons is putting on a Sixers jersey and playing with Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and others. There's no shot that happens. Those guys don't want him there. Like, you can see it. And based on the commentary that we're hearing out of there, they don't want him to be a part of what they're trying to put together. So if you're Daryl Morey, why would you force that on them? Even without Ben Simmons, you're a top four, top five team in the Eastern Conference. I get that you want to bring over some more pieces to try to supplement your roster and offset losing Ben Simmons would do. But at the same time, you have to think about what keeping Ben Simmons around there could do to the rest of that locker room.
I just feel like the goal should be, if you're Philadelphia, to try and get away from this being the number one word association with your franchise right now as you're trying to embark on this season, where we're hearing about your team bonding together, where you went out and blasted the Pelicans on opening night, where you could get a big season definer to start the year against the Nets on Friday by making this confrontation the subject of everyone's discussion, when your GM goes out there and gives them credence to do so, that seems like a miss in this situation. So again, we'll try and get some of the sound of Daryl Morey talking earlier today on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, talking about Ben Simmons and the possible trade, or the possibility that we could have to strap in and be here a while before anything gets moved here. Coming up next, though, we talked about looking towards the future. Is Ben Simmons a part of that with the 76ers? We'll look to the NFL to see if Joe Judge is a part of the future with the New York Giants. We'll do this after a word from Bank of America. All right, guys, we're finishing up baseball season, and you're ready to go all out to the close. You ordered the essentials to make game day a success. You got a jersey, a power recliner, and an even bigger screen. And you use your Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Rewards that put you towards the essential ultimate piece of the celebration. An air horn. Hell yeah. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/morerewarding. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Before we get you ready for El Clasico coming up very soon in the world of football across the pond, we got to focus on some more football getting ready to go on tonight and this weekend. For help on that, here on Canty and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Antoine Bethea, former NFL safety and Super Bowl champ, and co-host of the Man to Man podcast. And that's where I got to start, because I saw you and Darius Butler, your co-host, having this debate here. How can anyone in their right minds, the way Darius has, say that 300 is a better movie than Gladiator, Antoine? I'm speechless.
Yeah, man, I have no clue, man. Darius says a lot of wild stuff on that show, man. But that was one for the that was crazy, man. I think Gladiator by far is better than 300, in my opinion.
Chris, tell me you're in the same boat on that one, right? Gladiator, I mean, I'm aging myself a little bit. That was the first R-rated movie I ever saw. That was me, my dad, and my brother. We were in that thing, man. That was foundational.
Oh, yeah, man. What we do now echoes in eternity, man. How could you not choose Gladiator over 300? I can't even take anything as far as your critique of film seriously if you're choosing 300 over Gladiator. That's how far I'm willing to go. That's how I ride for Gladiator. Now, Twan, I got to ask you about an organization that both you and I spent time at, the New York Football Giants. I was over there on Sunday when they were honoring the Super Bowl 46 team, and I will tell you that the halftime celebration was the only win that the fans actually got, because they got embarrassed by the Rams. 1-5 through the first six games of this season. How much of this is on Joe Judge, their head coach?
Man, and you know how it is. You know, you get a new head coach come in, and you know that head coach is trying to, you know, bring his culture to that team. And, you know, during the offseason, you know, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they brought some guys in to help Daniel Jones. Right now, I mean, you have to look at the head coach. You know, you gotta, as the head coach, you're supposed to have your players ready to play, and you know, you can kind of go to the GM, but you know, the GM's trying to do the best that he can as far as bringing players in, so they can succeed on the field. So you gotta look at the leader, and that's your head coach.
How do you respond if you're a veteran player in that locker room? I mean, Joe Judge was the guy that came in and had folks running laps and doing up-downs, like doing a lot of real hard-o stuff in the preseason. And once you don't see the results during the regular season here, I mean, does that lose you as a veteran player after a while?
And I'm speaking just personally that as a veteran, that shows me nothing, that tells me nothing. You know, if you have me running laps, you have me doing up-downs, we grown men at the end of the day. You know, put me in the best position for me to be successful, for this team to be successful. And I've come to find out, and Chris, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but as men, we want to be respected as men, you know, at the end of the day. And I think the teams that I played with, the coaches have done that the best in the best form of fashion. I think that's where – you know, the teams have been more successful just because we are on that same wavelength where, you know, I need you and you need me for this thing to be successful.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if they don't get things turned around there shortly, guys are going to start talking about shipping the cars home, that's for sure. Twan, I want to switch gears with you and talk about Thursday night football. The Browns, obviously, losing Baker Mayfield. Case Keenum is going to get the start. What does Keenum need to do in tonight's game in order to give his team a chance to win?
You know, I think it's going to be tough, honestly. You know, you lose Baker, and you lose your two-headed monster in the backfield as well. I felt as though, you know, if he would have had the two-headed monster, that would have helped him out a lot. But right now, man, just control the game. Don't turn the ball over. You have a great defense on the other side of the ball. Hopefully them guys come to play, but, do what you do. You know, Case Keenum, he's played well in his league before, and, just come out and play your game.
Kane Angola Jr. talking to Antoine Bethea, former NFL safety and Super Bowl champ on the Goodyear Hotline. And I want to go from facing a backup quarterback to facing maybe the premier running back in the NFL right now. We saw what Derrick Henry did on Monday Night Football. So, Antoine, I'm curious, what's the conversation like in the defensive meeting room during the week when you got that massive humanity getting ready to come tearing through to the second level on Sunday?
As a safety, don't let that guy get to me and make me tackle him one-on-one. That's what I'm saying. And as a defense, man, we got to have 11 hats to the ball. I think that would be the glaring thing that we will always talk about, 11 hats to the ball. Make him stop and start again. Don't let him get a full head of steam. And really, we know we'll put the big guys, the front line, the defensive line, the linebackers, man, look, this is the key game for you guys. Whereas, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, look, the secondary, you got to play well this game. But, you know, the big guys, the Hogs up front, man, you know, got to stop that run, make a new line of scrimmage. And then from there on, man, got to get 11 hats to the ball.
Twan, we're used to seeing Pat Mahomes at the top of all the major passing statistical categories, but interceptions isn't one of them. Right now he's tied for second with 8 picks on the season. Should the Kansas City Chiefs be worried about all of his turnovers?
I don't think so. You know, obviously, you know, you have those years where, you know, you have a down year. And even if you look at his previous years, you know, he was given the defense opportunities. Guys were just dropping the ball. You know, I think this year the defense, they're capitalizing on his mistakes. But I don't think it should be alarm for the team to be worried. I think Pat Mahomes is still one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. But, you know, where they're trying to get to, he does have to, you know, cut down on those mistakes.
Check him out on the Man to Man podcast alongside Darius Butler, who, again, his takes on movies we have to call into question after the Gladiator and 300 debate. But for more great stuff like that, Antoine Bethea, we appreciate you giving us some time today, man. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I just can't understand that one. I saw that going around on the internet yesterday, Chris. Don't get me wrong. 300, quality movie. I appreciate the way they went about it, shooting it, all that stuff. There's some great lines in that movie.
Yeah.
When he says to Buddy, may you live forever, like as Ryan Clark pointed out the other day, all-time diss, especially old-school diss.
Yeah.
None of it compares to what we saw in Gladiator. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Gladiator was one of those movies that I would actually play in my locker on my portable DVD player at a time when we actually had those.
Wow.
Like, I would play that before we actually went out into the tunnel and going out on the field to play the damn game. Like, that was the kind of mode that Gladiator, that movie, puts you into. And as all former football players will tell you, like that's one of those that gets the blood flowing a little bit. So to put 300 somehow, some way ahead of Gladiator in the pantheon of classic action films, I don't know how you can do it.
I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. Coming up next, as we get into heated debates and rivalries here, one of the biggest rivalries in the world of sports, going to be without two of the biggest stars for the first time in a long time. We head to El Clasico and check that out next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're hoping to talk to Alexis Nunez from ESPN. Does a great job covering football for us here. And by football, I mean soccer for those of us that are listening on this side of the pond here. We got El Clasico coming up this weekend. You can check out on ESPN Plus Barcelona and Real Madrid, one of the premier rivalries in all of European football here. We're hoping to get into that because it's certainly different this year. We've got no Messi. We've got no Ronaldo in this rivalry. So lots going on here. We have Alexis with us all right here. For more on this situation, for more on this game, we are delighted to head out. Listen, we're getting international with it right now, so we got to make sure the phone lines are working right here. And we're excited to bring Alexis over here, our ESPN FC reporter. What's going on, friend? How we doing?
Oh, Mike, man, it's so good to have you and so good to like talk to you. I mean, last time I think we spoke was just you telling me how much you love Chelsea, and you know I don't approve of that at all.
Yeah, I know. We're still overcoming that in our friendship here, but we're going to try our best to do that right now because we do have a big one in a rivalry that has nothing to do with the Blues here. Barcelona and Real Madrid, take us through what this rivalry looks like this year without some of the familiar star faces that we've seen in this matchup in years past.
Yeah, honestly, I suppose the best way I can describe it is that if you're a new fan to La Liga or to at least European football or soccer, then this is going to be the most open, probably competitive El Clasico that we have had in ages. And I mean, we take it back to the good old days. Well, I say the good old days because now they're gone. But the days of, you know, Lionel Messi suiting up for Barcelona and seeing Cristiano Ronaldo, probably the two goats of our era or two of the best period who have ever played the game of football, suiting up and going at it. And I mean, you can take it back even to some of the great days of El Clasico, and now there's no real big face or big rivalry in terms of player to player. It's a lot of young guys. Both teams have been plagued with injuries. Both teams have been plagued with financial issues. Both teams, you know, have been plagued with managers that have certain questions surrounding them. Carlo Ancelotti is back at Real Madrid, and Ronald Koeman, you know, people are pretty much ready to kick him out of Barcelona because it's just... It's almost like two wounded giants, but there's a saying that we have in football, and it's that when you do have a rivalry like this and you do have a fixture like this, the form goes out the rule book because these two know when to bring it, and this is the biggest stage for them to bring it at. It's the first Clasico that we're having in ages without the likes of Lionel Messi there, but it's a massive chance for some other players to properly step up. And you know, you have to think of Barcelona now, all the stats that are out there, the fact that they have so many injuries with them, they have an average age of the team of 23 years old. They're playing more players from their academy, La Masia, which is so world renowned for bringing up the likes of Messi and a couple of other big names. But they're playing with so many of the young boys, and I'm talking about 18, 19 year olds. Of course, the U.S. men's national team player Sergiño Dest is only 20 years old as well, and he'll be featuring and hoping to, you know, play a big role as well come this Sunday. But it's a very interesting Clasico, one that some will say without the star power of old, but definitely a massive chance for some of these young guns to really write their names into the history books.
And Alexis, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Barcelona. They lost five straight Champions League matches dating back to December 2020, but finally got a win this week. What is the vibe around this struggling team?
Ooh, man, let me tell you. So the Champions League obviously just finished yesterday, and I think everybody is thankful for that. Of course, Barcelona got that win over Dinamo Kiev. We literally landed when they were playing and got to take in the match. And all I have to say is the headlines basically was saying that they won, they got the victory, but they weren't convincing at all. And, you know, I was thinking that I know that normally on paper, Barcelona up against Dinamo Kiev, even though it's a Champions League, this isn't a fixture that jumps out at you. It's a fixture that you kind of expect Barcelona to take care of easily by more than just the one goal that they got. But they really didn't. They were very lackluster. They were very boring. I'm going to say that straight up. They were absolutely boring. And it's not really the message that I think they wanted to send going into El Clásico this week. And the fact that they are hosting it at the Camp Nou. And what people need to remember, this is going to be the first Clásico that we've had back since the coronavirus pandemic that we're going to have fans back and at full capacity, because the Catalonia region of Spain has actually had serious lockdown rules in place since they've been dealing with a curfew. The Camp Nou hasn't been at full capacity. They finally allowed full capacity back midweek when they had that Champions League match. But even then, they only got about 45,000 fans in. Of course, for El Clásico, it's going to be different. We are expecting a packed house. But still, it was a very unconvincing performance from Barcelona, even though they did get the win. And, you know, they definitely go into this one, even though they're going to be at home, they're definitely going to this one, I would say, a slight underdogs, because Real Madrid have their issues too, especially in defense. I've seen them play a couple of times live so far this season, and but they've got a man, Karim Benzema, who is full of experience, full of confidence, full of swagger, full of talk in terms of the Ballon d'Or, and I think that Barcelona definitely might be the slight underdogs in this one.
We'll catch Karim and the rest of this matchup again in El Clásico, the biggest matchup of the Liga season so far, Sunday, October 24th, 10:15 a.m. streaming on ESPN+. Alexis Nunez, our ESPN FC reporter, kind enough to join us. Alexis, I'll see you around Stamford Bridge soon sometime, all right?
Never.
Thank you so much, Alexis. You guys can check her out on Twitter at Alexis Nunez here, covering ESPN FC for us around here. And Chris, this is, I think, an interesting spot for a lot of people. I don't know about you. I started coming to European soccer, Premier League soccer, over the summer, 2020 in the pandemic, okay, checking out a lot of this here. And it is a perfect Sunday morning addition to your lineup here. Think about getting ready for the NFL games this weekend on Sunday here. You roll out of bed. We might not have the London game going on like we did last week with Jacksonville and Miami. So you can just flip on ESPN Plus and check out a little La Liga and get your morning started off with your cup of coffee the right way.
I haven't done a deep dive into the soccer like you have, but I always had the utmost respect for those athletes just because they have that hand-eye-foot coordination thing going on. Some of the best athletes in the world in playing that sport. So big ups to them and much respect. And, of course, La Liga and then El Clásico. Like, this is a huge event, and I'm glad that we have an opportunity to discuss it and have Alexis Nunez on our show today.
Yeah, looking forward to it. That'd be a fun one this weekend, man. Like, early morning soccer on the weekends before college football or the NFL has definitely been a part of my life I did not expect to see coming until this point. But listen, we have all room to change and grow throughout this time period here. So that's what we're hoping in this situation here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests like Alexis join us on the Goodyear hotline here. Coming up next, though, feels like we got to start getting back into this Ben Simmons stuff, because, Chris, as we go along here, the phrase less is more can apply to so much, so many things in this world. I feel like the 76ers and specifically Daryl Morey are going to learn this lesson the hard way if these recent statements are any indicator of where we're headed on this.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to an uglier place, even if I didn't think that was possible a week ago, but that's the road we're headed down, and Daryl Morey seems intent on being dug in on his position. So it's going to make for some interesting theater, and full disclosure, I think it's going to be what's in the best interest of our show, because we're going to have plenty of headlines coming out of this situation to talk about in the weeks to come.
Who? Let me tell you what. Coming up next, we will dive into and take a look at the statements that we saw from the 76ers GM Daryl Morey as they become America's team for people who are sports talk gas bags like us. We can look at this and try and decide if coming up next we are ready to book it, to stamp it, to let everyone know that Ben Simmons will never play another game in a 76ers uniform. That's coming up next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.